You know, I'm going to imagine that the overhead bin compartments are still going to be cramped, even if you're flying to the moon. And who knows, you could actually be picking out some space flight carry-ons sooner than you thought. Turns out, although they didn't announce it, the Virgin Galactic Spaceship 2 took its first gliding flight yesterday. They were about 45,000 feet above California's Mojave Desert. A story or not? We're going to ask that from Jim Meggs, editor-in-chief of Popular Mechanics. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Celeste. Happy to be here.
How significant is this?
Well, it's pretty significant because this is the first time that they've actually flown this craft through the air and allowed it to land. What they did was they lifted it up to about 45,000 feet up under the belly of its mothership. In a real mission into space, it would then drop and ignite its rockets and go up more than 60 miles and then glide back down. Here they were just testing the last phase of the flight, the glide down to the runway.
Well, I mean, what we're talking about, the Virgin Galactic Spaceship 2 is the prototype for eventually a space tourist craft, one that would fly people to the moon and back.
Yeah, it actually is the craft. This is the ship that they will be sailing people into space with if all goes as planned. And they've got a pretty aggressive schedule. They say they're going to be flying passengers by sometime in 2012.
And is this a real visit to the moon kind of thing, or
like
just go up in
land.
Space, take a picture out the window kind of thing?
It's definitely go up in space for a few minutes, take a picture out the window.
I see.
Nonetheless, it shows that there's a lot of excitement about getting regular civilians into space. They have to be very well-heeled civilians. But, you know, while NASA seems to have somewhat lost its way and be struggling to figure out what its next phase is, we have this whole host of interesting little entrepreneurial companies starting to claw their way up into space.
Well, and Virgin Galactic is taking reservations already. As I understand, they've got $45 million in deposits from about 300 people.
That's correct. A little more than that, they just announced today, as a matter of fact.
So there's certainly motivation to get this thing to work, although we should mention that the Virgin Galactic crafts have not been tested in space.
That's correct, and they won't be taking passengers until they've done a few space flights. But if you remember back in 2004, the precursor to this, Spaceship One, also built by aerospace pioneer Burt Rutan's company Scaled Composites, that was the first privately built spacecraft to go into space, and it won that X Prize for doing it.
Right. Now, isn't this a threat to the economy, sending billionaires out into space where they would get lost and then...
But you know, the modern economy is very good at separating billionaires from their money. So we're so if people want to spend $200,000 taking short flights into space and spearhead and drive a lot of great engineering innovation and knowledge along the way, I think that's just great.
Well, Jim Meggs, let me ask you, would you be willing to be on that very first tourist flight to the moon?
In a heartbeat.
Really? You trust
Absolutely.
The Virgin Galactic craft?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, to the extent that anything's completely safe, nothing's completely safe.
Is Popular Mechanics going to cough up the money to send you, bud?
You know, we're sort of hoping for that editorial discount, but we haven't really worked out the details yet.
Editorial discount of 99.9%, right? Jim Meggs, editor-in-chief of Popular Mechanics, thanks so much for joining us.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.